Meeting to order and ask that you please stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes. It's past 9:30, time for the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, 2009 CDBG.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are here for two reasons. The first one is our public hearing for our 2009 HUD money for the CDBG and the home funds. Packets went out last week. We're having a deadline of, they are due back to the Department of Community Development by December 19th at 4 o'clock. Give you a timeline as usual. Our program year doesn't start until May, but when the applications come back in December, in January they're reviewed. Site, you know, we do site visits and everything, and we have our consolidated planning committee. In February, it's usually brought to you, to the board, for your approval, and then we send the application up to HUD by March 15th. So everyone should have received their packets. And if there's any questions about that, then they need to get in touch with our office, and we'll be glad to assist them.
Okay. How much money do you think we have a reduction?
No, they actually, they passed a continuing resolution, so it'll be funded at the same level of the 08 as the 08 funding. So it's a little over $1 million for CDBG and like $800,000 for home.
Do we have to have a regular public hearing where we ask for input or?
No, this is, we just have two public hearings a year for our normal CDBG program, and I usually have one now and then one in the summertime when we submit our caper that shows what we've done with the money. So this is just for informational purposes, and I did let everyone know it was published in the paper and it went out with the packets that went out. It's not a requirement that people be here, just to let them, just to fulfill our requirement of having a public hearing.
Okay, very good.
But I thought while I was here, I would also touch base with you all about the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. Basically, that is the $4.2 million that was allocated to the county at the end of September. What I've done here is just revised, again, what the eligible uses are for that money. The first one is that we can provide financial assistance through various financing mechanisms. The second one is that we can acquire properties and rehab them and resell them. We can land bank property, we can demolish property, and then we can also redevelop properties that we have demolished. We can redevelop that area. To give you an idea of the income limits, because that was a huge change, they've waived a lot of the requirements. Usually for our HUD money, it's an 80% low to moderate income. They've raised it up to 120%. And what that means is on that chart there, let's say a family of four, if they make $79,450 or less, then they would qualify to be assisted with this. And what I've did, I've broken it down there for you based on the number of people in the household. Since I met with you last, I did attend a sheriff's sale and was actually kind of surprised at the amount of foreclosures that we have had just through our sheriff's sale. If you look the very first column, it's kind of small print, but the very first chart up there, in 2008 alone, up until the end of September, there have been over 1,761 foreclosures received through the Sheriff's Department. And the, let's see, the appraised value of those homes were over $207 million. And then from that, you just take the ones that really, a lot of them were withdrawn by the time it got there, but overall there were 1,109 that actually went through the foreclosure process. So that's actually, there were 200 just in the month of, scheduled for the month of October, 223. So it is hitting us pretty hard.
So you're saying that there are 1,761 filed foreclosures, but then only 1,000 something went through, actually went all the way through?
Went all the way through. Yeah, usually, they said that usually about 30% of them, the owner will work something out with the bank by the time, once they've scheduled the foreclosure, and then when it actually, that day happens. I know when I was there, they were actually withdrawing properties like a few minutes just before. So out of the 1,700, roughly 600 of them, they were able to resolve something right before the foreclosure, but still that's, over 1,000 just for this year alone. Okay, and then also too, for our, this amendment that we have to have up to HUD by December the 1st, you have to be in an LMI area based on this 120%. And you can't just do a blanket for the county. We have to say that we're going to target areas that have the greatest flow. So what we did was, there's three maps before you. The first one is, the red indicates the areas that meet that 120% criteria that we have to stay in. And then the second one, we were given this Excel spreadsheet that was huge, and one of the columns was from a scale of 1 to 10, the highest abandonment risks areas. So what I did was we went through and did the top 3rd percent, those that had 8, 9s, and 10s. And those are the red areas on the second map. And then what we did was we overlaid them. And on the third map, the areas in the red is what we could say between those two criteria, they are in the LMI areas and they have the highest abandonment risk score. Those right there in the red are the areas that we could primarily focus on and probably should. So I suppose as a board, what I'm coming to you, I've been working very closely with Nancy Nix, our county treasurer, and Danny Crank, our county recorder. And Mr. Yeager is here from First Financial. I did go through and speak with all the banks downtown, and Mr. Yeager seems to be very active in wanting to kind of work with us. He was saying you work in a lot of different areas around here and works with their foreclosures. And if you want to say a few words or something, it's fine.
In my line, we have, when we get the properties back and we have no choice but to bid the sheriff's sale or the middle bid to protect ourselves or whatever, and when we go out and the property is, and I don't get to visit all of them, they're dilapidated, and I have the issue of what do I do with this place if I can't sell it on the market. So this program can be very vital that we both work together to get a resolution that, what's best for the community. They have the dollars to reinvest and buy a lower dollar amount, or is a demo, the only feasible way to get rid of it. And then, both the city and the county, and the city has some dollars too, that we take care of the property instead of being a nuisance. I deal with the properties
they
have in
Tuckanini. Nancy, I know you tried to work on this early on, and you had several programs you tried to work with, try to get organized and get something to help on these situations. But you are involved with this matter with the program here.
That's correct. What we were doing were mainly outreach programs, trying to put the borrower with the lender to work out agreements. That was just on a small scale. Also not knowing that there were millions coming down the pipeline to that we can target specific people, and I think that's where we are, trying to target where we put the $4 million.
Do you know if the cities have any programs going at this time?
Well, they do. I was talking to Judy Gilland of the City of Middletown recently, because I think they are going to be targeting demolition efforts, and the county may have different ideas about the way they want to spend it. I mean, I like what
Yeah. Are you, I guess you're in touch with them?
I have been in touch with both. And that's what I had found out from Middletown was that what they intend to do is for every two that they demolish, then they're going to rehab one. So for every three units, two will be torn down and one will be rehabbed. I believe Hamilton, when I spoke with them, they were doing across the board a little bit of everything right now at this point. Everyone's kind of scrambling to see, you know, and get this in place. And I did have, last week on Tuesday, there was a training up in Columbus. And HUD, you know, of course HUD was there and saying that they expect a lot, you know, throwing this money out so quickly and trying to get everything together, because really we have to have a two-week comment period. So we have to know in a month, basically, middle of November. So they expect to be changes. And amendments are not a huge deal. If there's a substantial amendment, you simply publish it and then you wait your comment period and you change that. So they're expecting us to kind of at least get started and see what works and what isn't, and we can change it accordingly to what works best for the county, because I think what works for the county will be different than what works for the cities, possibly.
Okay. Good.
So I suppose as a board, I wanted your ideas or input as far as what you would want out of those five eligible uses, what you would want to focus on, or I guess.
I've attended the meeting, and I want to thank Donna and also Nancy and Dan. And Dan's office been willing, and Dan, you could talk about what you're offering from your office to identify the properties. You want to say anything?
Yeah, I just said since we are slow, we would have enough personnel in my office that we might be able to identify some of the exact locations where we know the numbers, but we can actually pull the addresses and find out, maybe so go out and take a look at the properties and find out what value they might have for one of the four options that we have. And I would be willing to offer some help from my office if that would work, make a thing worth it.
Great. Great to have you guys involved. I appreciate that very much. That's
you know, I think that when we look at this money, it's when you think of the huge problem that we have in the county, we're not talking about very much money. And I think that, you know, as we set priorities and, you know, the federal government is saying, here's some money to help with foreclosed properties after the fact. It's not helping people who are going through the foreclosure. And as we were talking in the committee, there is an option to help people who are going through the foreclosure property. And Dan, you want to explain that, whether they can turn in their property?
Well, one of the things when I started reading the qualifications for the program, there was a little clause in there that said that basically what it said, if they could give the property back in deed in lieu of, that we might be able to help them. The property really would have been foreclosed, and they might be able to go through all the units that they had to go through, then give it back and deed in lieu of, and then maybe we can help that person stay in that particular piece of property. But that would involve us working directly with the banks so that they knew exactly where the process was going before the foreclosure took place. And if there's a way to keep somebody in that house, and it'd probably take a lot of effort on a lot of people's part, because as I said, if you don't meet the guidelines that you have to qualify for years ago, 32% and 43%, you're really not helping that person out. If there's some way we can get those ratios down and somebody can stay in that house, that's the ideal situation. We sure don't want to keep somebody in a house and 2 years from now they'll be in the same situation at the end of the day. So we just have to work directly with the banks, maybe to find out some reduced loan rate or something like that. But I think it could work, and it does, and Greg's been on the point on this, that if there's any way we can help the person who's going to lose the house, that's the way we should go. And I agree with you 100% on Greg, if that's the way we can work it out. But it will take everybody working together to get that accomplished. The banks, the people, and this particular program. But it can, I do think it can work. We won't have to go through the foreclosure procedure that way. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I would say, have you talked to the entities, the governmental entities that are involved in here?
Other
than us? Because I think it's important that we get their input.
Yeah, I brought that up
like
too.
You mean like our townships and villages? No, not entirely. I've spoken to a few of them, but not all of them.
Don't you think we ought to make them part of this plan? I mean, I'd be interested in knowing what they think.
Sure. Especially, like, I noticed Fairfield in this red area, there's a lot of it in Trenton as well. There's a lot of area in the county that we're not going to be able to assist directly because we need to focus on the main areas. But we've also been dealing with, I've been working with the Sheriff's Department as well, getting their foreclosures and things, so I think they'll be crucial too. And Danny's right, we need, you know, if we can keep people in their homes, I think that's what we'd like to do. There are three or four things that would have to happen. First, they have to be willing to give up that deed temporarily. They would have to meet that LMI criteria. They'd have to be able to, the bank would have to sell it back to them at a reduced rate. That's one of the requirements with this money is we have to have, at a minimum, 5% below the appraised value is what the bank has to be willing to give it back, to sell it to us, basically. And then they have to be able to afford to stay in there.
As I said, that, you know, we have a number of different options, and I'd like to have that as one of our top priorities as we go through that, that we explore that option first and then go down to, you know, what we want to acquire to either tear down or to rehab, which goes to your point, Don, about, you know, getting in touch with the government entities to see what they want to do. You know, if there's a whole neighborhood, you know, one street that has a number of homes, which, you know, may not be out of the a possibility that there could be an effort to completely redo a neighborhood.
Right.
So I think we need to take a look at that. But I think as we establish the plan and give Donna direction, that I think we want to, at least I, for my one-third, help people who are in their homes or going through this problem and then go into acquisition and rehabbing and then demolition. And then I would see land banks as a last option.
I don't know that that's something that you would want to do. You can hold on to the property for 10 years, but I don't know that you would really want to, but that's your decision.
So, I, you know, mine wouldn't even consider that. But
yeah. And we have done rehabs. We've done several acquisition rehabs, and we've been successful with those. We can also build new through this. We have built, I know, a New Miami alone, which is one of our main areas, and it screams that here, too, that New Miami needs a lot of assistance. We've built six homes out there in the last 3 years, and they've sold before we completed them.
Well, I'm not, first of all, I'd like to thank the First Financial Bank for taking the time to sit in on this problem with us. Claude Davis, I know, was instrumental in, you know, offering their assistance, and I'm sure the other ones will also, but I concur with Greg. I think our first effort and our highest priority ought to be to keep those people in those houses. I'm really not interested in building any houses and trying to put them on the market. Our focus should be to keep them, help people keep what they got. And if we can work that mechanism out to where maybe they can be in at a lower interest rate, but maybe there's a possibility that they just need a little help this one time, and the difference, maybe we could recover some of that money back over amount of time in a redevelopment fund where we could help other people. Now, I don't, you know, maybe I don't know if this program allows that or not, but I guess it would almost be like the county doing a passbook account with somebody until they get on their feet, get caught up, and out of every payment, maybe $10 goes or $25 goes if they, I don't know. It's just something we need to talk about, but I think we should keep people in their homes. It makes a lot of sense not to have them displaced. Not interested in building anything new for the market. That's not, I don't believe that's government's niche. Just, you know, let the market take care of itself. I think we got plenty out there. But if we can direct these funds to do pretty much what Greg said, I think is a way to go. I mean, Chuck?
I concur. It's almost like it's too little too late. It's think of the ones that's passed already that we have not been able to help.
Right. Yeah.
But obviously we'll have to take what we can get when we can get it. So at this point I think it's proper to take that as our priority.
I think as we, you know, what we need to do is, you know, set the plan. Donna needs to set the plan, and it can be broad. It doesn't have
yes.
to be down to specifics
exactly.
at this point, but I think we're, and I appreciate, you know, setting the priorities for helping those who are going through it, and then looking at those who have lost their homes just recently, maybe the, you know, who are fit into the area, mm-hmm. to see if we can get them back into their house,
or into then, this or into the area that there were neighborhoods they were from.
Right.
I mean, it may end up that they can't get back into their house, but they can maybe be in the same area in a different house and maybe an upgrade with a lower payment. You know, except where the kids aren't disrupted, they're not pulled out of the schools, they're not sent somewhere else, they have the same neighbors.
Right.
You know, they know where the community is, that kind of stuff. So, like, I think it's a good idea.
Right. Also want to thank Jim Allen from the Sheriff's Department.
Right.
To, you know, because he's does the foreclosures for the sheriff, and he's developing a list which is going to be invaluable to us as we go forward. So, and he did this basically on his own, so it's really going to help Danny's office and all of us try to identify where these homes are. So.
I believe he was going to give us a list for this whole year, wasn't he?
Yes.
Of all the parcel numbers of the homes that have been foreclosed upon. And we'll start, you know, getting those and trying to locate them and see if they're still, if they're just sitting there vacant, you know, trying to do something with them or try to find the people that used to live there. So
I think it's important to note that, that the county, our county office holders have really made a team effort. Try and have some, make a difference in this foreclosure thing and try and keep people in their houses. And if it weren't for our office holders, Nancy and Danny and the rest of us, we could, you know, I think we could be sitting there watching the world go by and not trying to help. Now, I'm not saying we're making a huge impact, but at least we're trying.
Right.
And I think this may open the door for some other stuff, because I think there's going to be more money coming. And if
As I understand it, this is a one-time shot, but like you said about the program income, that money we can revolve over and over. That's ours for 5 years to keep using it as we need to.
There's going to have to be more stimulus put into this economy. It's not going to. It's not stopping here. This is not even going to touch it.
Right.
So, but who knows what's coming down the road? But if you're in and you got a program that works and you're ready to move, I think you take advantage of it. So,
I'd also like to ask Donna, as a for full disclosure, I'm on the newly appointed person to the Neighborhood Housing Board. So I think they may be able to play a role in helping maybe qualify people to get back into their homes, because it's going to be a huge task to get people to, you know, come in and to get qualified and get re-qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to have Donna meet with that office and see what type of options they can help in this process.
And we've worked with NHS before, and well, they're the ones that's worked with us with a lot of our acquisition rehabs and our new constructions. And one of the requirements of this, if we help anyone with this money, they're required to have 8 hours of counseling, and that's what NHS does for us in the past as well. So we will work well with them for this. So.
Good.
So you can check for input from, like, St. Clair Township officials and
so definitely. And like the village, do you want me to just notify all the ones that are, we definitely know that have
good.
What these maps indicate. And
it's a good suggestion. I think we need to keep them in the loop.
The red zones.
Yeah, the red zones. Maybe
yeah,
they have some other input, other ideas.
There may be something that we could also put up on the website. The people who have questions,
right?
We could direct them to our website and then get.
Okay. Well, then that is one of the requirements of our amendment, is it has to be, because they're trying to get this through so quickly, they require that you have it on the internet base so that people can view what we're going to do.
Right.
So, okay, well, at least I have a general direction. We'll work with them, work with David and, of course, Danny and Nancy and with the sheriff's office and find the locations and the groups of homes that need assistance and try to get people back in their homes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy, Dan.
Donna, one quick question. Do you know how much was directly allocated to the city of Hamilton and Middletown?
2.1 and 2.4. I believe it was Middletown, I believe, got the 2.1 and Hamilton got the 2.4, but I'm not positive for those. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, is the Mark meeting tonight?
Next Monday.
Next Monday? Thank you. Thank you.
Larry.
Larry Furman, Three Valley Conservation Trust.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Larry. Morning, Larry.
Here we go.
Got it.
Some background. Larry Frimmerman, Executive Director, Three Valley Conservation Trust, Oxford Township. I'm here to seek your support for resolutions supporting two applications for the Clean Ohio Conservation Fund. One is for the Big Riley Woods, Little Indian Creek conservation restoration project, and the other is for the Elk Creek and Headwater Streams preservation project. These are two conservation easement proposals seeking grant funds from the Office of Public Works, the Public Works Commission from the state of Ohio, as a part of the Clean Ohio Conservation Fund, which is one of four funds that comprise the Clean Ohio basket of funds. And these are two excellent projects that have been supported by the their respective townships, and also, as you can see, by the planning office here for the county, and there are letters of support that came from NRCS, from Jeff Barnes on behalf of John Williams, from Kevin Fall from Soil and Water Conservation Office, and so on and so forth. Actually, partnerships with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Ohio Division of Wildlife as well for both of these projects. These would conserve together over 200 acres of woods and some 425 plus acres of ground that will be primarily both habitat and also still working farms. So do you have any questions?
I have none.
We have two resolutions to consider here. First of the Three Valley, the one on Peoria Riley Road. Which one did you call that?
That's the Big Riley Woods, Little Indian Creek preservation and enhancement project.
And the other one you're referring to is?
It's the Elk Creek. Yes, and that one is the one on Middletown Eaton Road.
Okay, so we have two resolutions. First for the Big Riley area.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet.
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon.
Yes.
Commissioner Furman.
Yes.
Next, we have the Elk Creek area to consider.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet.
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks. Just if I can add a couple of quick things. One, I wanted to thank you for not only your support for these projects, but for every project that we've asked in the past from this commission, and You know, I believe that the support of the Butler County Board of Commissioners has been very, very helpful in getting the number of Clean Ohio projects funded that we have been able to do together. And also wanted to mention to you, because we hadn't talked publicly about this yet, since we generally like to do it after the easements are signed, but we did receive approval from the Ohio Department of Agriculture for the Ernie Schlichter Farm agricultural easement that we had sought approval for in two ways this past spring. One was for the actual application for the ag easement purchase program. The other that Mr. Schlichter had sought approval from you for his ag security area. Well, it paid off because he was selected. It was the only Butler County farm selected and one of two that was selected for the entire quadrant. The other one was a Preble County farm, the Tapleman farm, that we also sponsored. So we appreciate your support. And as you know, Clean Ohio is on the ballot in 2 weeks. On November 4th is issue two. And you have a couple of fact sheets in front of you. If you need it, there's an original copy of a fact book that is not quite as specific for this area as I would like. But it does include things like the Gilmore Ponds and the revitalization project here in Hamilton. So if you'd like, I can give you this copy. And just to mention, the County Commissioners Association of Ohio has endorsed the Clean Ohio Project and issue two. So, and many individual commissions have done that as well.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that we endorse the Clean Ohio initiative.
Second.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Thank you. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to work with you and receive your support. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, sir. How are you doing with your other hat at the township in Oxford? Everything going well?
We're proceeding. We finally have our, our thoroughfare plan.
Good. All right.
That's good.
So we're moving along. And actually, with this, to have the comprehensive plan in place will be, it'll really help. Because now we can start moving towards implementation. And as you probably remember, there's some pretty creative things in the community.
Good.
So we're very
good. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for your leadership there.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. See ya.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
You guys have anything at this time before we go into communications?
No.
Go into communications, please.
Certainly. Under travel, we have two requests for travel. First is Lucinda Buckley and Cheryl Kremitz from Job and Family Services for the Maximus User Group meeting, Mount Sterling, Ohio, $425. Next, from the Commissioner's Office, Gina Rosemarin for the 2008 CCAO Winter Conference, Columbus, Ohio, $500. So we move on to finance resolutions. Number one, we have a reversal of a previous resolution for $10,000 transferring between funds in the maintenance account. Next, under the insurance account, We have a transfer between two accounts for $3,450, and then an increase in budget in our insurance accounts for $40,000 for the repairs, temporary repairs to the roof of the Government Services Center here, of which will be reimbursed from insurance proceeds from CORSA. Number four, we have a transfer of $2,000 between accounts to allow for a tuition reimbursement. Number five, continuing in the general fund, we have a transfer of $100,000 between accounts for excess amount of dollars for job and family services. Then we have a transfer in the general fund of $23,000 to capital improvement fund in order to complete some parking lot improvements at various areas. Next, we have health insurance fund for $20,000. This is a transfer between accounts. And that was fund number 110. Fund number 910, we have a juvenile rehab center, fund 910, a transfer of $10,000 between accounts. Then we have number nine, fund number 1363, SVAA grant, final entries for the closeout of the year for this particular fund. Number 10, Job and Family Services. We have a decrease in budget in Job and Family Services of $300,000 and a reappropriation of that $300,000 to foster care. Finally, and then number 12, capital improvements. We have an increase of $23,000 in capital improvements for that particular area. And then in court remodeling, we have an increase in budget for $700,000 for the money borrowed recently to complete that project. We have $100,000 increase in budget for the fuel depot. And we have motor vehicle permissive fund and a increase of $450,000 for the appropriation for the application and distributions of those funds during October, November, and December. And what I'd like to do is pull for separate considerations the item number 6 and item number 12 to do a separate resolution at the end, because this involves the Princeton Road facility. So item 6 and item 12 will be considered separately at the end as a separate resolution.
Tim, with the fuel depot, that's what we're talking about out on Route 4, right?
Yes, sir.
Are there any plans to make that look a little bit nicer?
Well,
I don't know. Maybe we can get some volunteer work to do that, or some jail personnel. But I mean, it looks like crap. I mean, from a county piece of property, it gives a bad impression.
We've been looking at bids to repair the building, repair the roof. So it's a question of money availability.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot of cosmetic things that we can do out there, and we'll get someone on it to be able to at least dress it up a little bit. But there is some repairs to the building that will need to take place out there.
Have we done a study to see, I think we talked about this before, whether that thing saves us any money or not?
I can give you our standard reports, which shows you how much we do save off retail, and then also summarize some of the expenditures that we have to put into that, you know, facility. So we'll complete a report for you.
You know, we use
that. We need to consider the emergency that we just had, and to have that available with a backup generator,
right?
As opposed to,
is that where we store the generator? Do we have a generator there?
No, we don't. You know, we can easily store a generator right outside there and fence it in. You know, there is a potential that there's a portable generator that, you know, could be moved up there, but you know, to have one physically there ready to go, you know, might be the best solution to use there.
How did we get from the engineer's office up to there? I mean, it would seem like that if we had a disaster, we ought to be fueling our stuff at the engineer's office, where they've got all the equipment and all the heavy equipment and all the drags and all the trucks and all the cruisers, and we got ground to park, you know, places to park at, get those big rigs in and fuel them and get them out. How did we get from there up to there?
The engineer did provide that service at one time, but then wanted to get out of that business supplying all the county, you know, their fuel, you know, because of the expense of maintaining it there and the difficulty of accounting for everything and billing everybody out.
So we're doing that, but we have to do that anyway, right? We have to do that anyway, so why don't we just rim? I would think that we ought to have that facility. You know, the engineer's office has purchased a lot of additional ground down there. I think we ought to go back to them and say, look, is there a place where we can put this out here where we can get our big trucks into fuel? You can't even get, I think the sheriff's got some pretty big vans, and then I know if you're pulling drags and stuff in there with heavy equipment on it, you can't even get them in there to fuel them. It would seem like we ought to be looking at a long-range plan, like Chuck said, for these type of emergencies. I don't want to spend any money in that place.
Well, I don't
think
have
it needs
any
to be torn down. You know,
if that's the, you know, I will agree with you on that.
But it needs to be cleaned up.
But
don't leave it there. You're right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And right. I could have, you know, either it's such a poor eyesore to the entrance to the county fair and the things like that. It could be a lot better looking. And I don't have any problem if we're going to move it someplace else. But that's going to cost money.
Well.
We do a feasibility study.
I mean, if the sheriff, if we had a true emergency, don't claim to be an emergency planner, but if we had all these people rolling into this one spot to fuel at one time, there's no room there. You know, I mean, I'm talking bringing ladder trucks, fire trucks, drags, equipment, big truck, ambulances. I just think it's for spending money that doesn't make any sense. I mean, without looking at doing something else. But Greg's right; needs to be cleaned up. So,
if we're going to stay there.
I'd clean it up and level it off, make it part of the fairgrounds, but
right.
See what those numbers look like. But. And, you know, the engineer doesn't have to run it. I mean, if we got the cost and the operation and all that stuff now, we must run it out there. I mean, he's got plenty of ground. He just bought 2-3 big pieces next to it. There's another piece for sale, so it might be time to look at
okay.
Something like that. I don't know.
I'll get with him and we'll do a feasibility study on that. Good idea.
Motion to approve those.
No. Let's continue on with the other communications. Under personnel, we have four personnel actions today. You know, first is to accept the. There's a step increase for Bonnie Wenning, going from $16.90 to $17.44. She's an eligibility referral specialist to Job and Family Services, an increase of 3.2%, effective October 11th. Next is a step increase for Karen French, employed as Social Services Worker 2 in Job and Family Services, increase to $18.75. A 3.6% increase effective October 11th. Next is a list of personnel actions for the county care facility to place on record for their terminations, their new hires, and as well as change in status. Next is their approval for the transfer of employment for Department of Information Services. You know, this concludes the transfer of that particular department under the Board of County Commissioners. As we move on to the Department of Development, we have two resolutions. First is to advertise for bids for Village of Somerville, demolition of vacant school building, contract CDBG08-5. Second is to award a contract in Ross Township for sidewalk improvements to Adelita Inc. in the amount of $45,778 even. As we move on to Job and Family Services, we have three resolutions to consider today. First is to approve a Job and Family Service agreement with Community Behavioral Health period November 108 to October 3109. This is a program in the amount of $205,644 that provides temporary housing and counseling for female clients and children. These are individuals who are experiencing transient or difficult living arrangements. They're provided, you know, shelter, as well as training to obtain a GED or enrollment in educational programs and training in independent living. Next, we have in Job and Family Services a child care contract with Kindertown Educational Center. The amount is $36,500, November 1 through October 31, 09. Next, we have another child care contract for New Life Vineyard Church, October 2608 to October 3109, in the amount of $50,000. As we move on to the engineer has two requests for you today. First is to approve a change order for the widening of Hamilton Mason Road and Cincinnati Dayton Road due to additional cost of water mains and additional cost of materials in accordance with the state of Ohio construction and material specifications. They also request you to cancel a performance maintenance bond for Ross Trail Section 3. Under miscellaneous, we have five miscellaneous items for your consideration: to approve change order number 15 for the Common Pleas Court remodeling. This particular change order is for $900, and that's to adjust lighting in each courtroom that was in conflict with the audiovisual items within that courtroom. Second, we have another change order. This is the amount of $1,125. This is various change orders that have been netted together, change orders number 9 to 19. The net amount, $1,125, will also be deducted from our architect's bill. The next resolution for consideration is Ohio Cooperative Purchasing Program. This is an annual resolution just to restore or maintain our membership in that Ohio Cooperative Purchasing Program to be able to engage in or contract under state contract and cooperative purchasing agreements. Next, you have a request from Marianne Williams for a cost reimbursement for a breakfast at the workforce development. You also have another request from Marianne Williams, an amount of $45.69 for a light breakfast for the workforce development meetings. Finally, under payment resolutions, you have been presented resolutions for 102 payments for your review and approval.
Just wanted to make a comment about the transfer of the employment for the Department of Information Services. You know, I think that this has, you know, been in the works for a number of months, at least 5 or 6 months, and I think this is a real plus, and it, to me, it reestablishes the data board because we need to make sure that all the office holders in all departments are on the same page with regards to purchasing computers and what type and what type of software. So I think this is very important that that this department comes underneath the commissioner's office, and it is also my hope in the long run that office holders can again have some confidence in the information department so that they can reduce their budgets and their IT people become underneath the IT department now under the commission. It's my hope as we go into the budgets that we talk to each of the office holders and talk about their IT departments within their offices and to say that, you know, we're willing to take their employees who work into the IT underneath the our department now so that everyone is together. And we don't have a problem of, you know, of service or a lack thereof of service. So I think this is a real
important move as we make sure that we stay on top of technology and that we continue to look at new ways of taking advantage of the technology that is available. Move to approve.
Communications. Okay.
Second.
Commissioner Dolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
We now have a separate resolution to consider in the finance resolution. You know, that is the transfer of $23,000 of capital improvement fund, as well as the increase in budget for $23,000 for parking lot improvements at the Princeton Road campus.
Move to approve those two items.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon abstain. Commissioner Furman?
Yes. Need a motion to go into.
We do. Motion to go into collective executive session for collective bargaining.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Dolivet?
Yes.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.